20. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we are in the middle of our 199th and 11 months of being a county. We are coming up next month on the 200th anniversary of Escambia County, and one of the cool projects that's being done is all kinds of writers, all kinds of historians and archaeologists are writing articles in the Pensacola News Journal that come out every week about this history to try to give us a picture of what was Pensacola like 200 years ago and, of course, what we have done since then. And so every Wednesday, we talk to one of the authors. This week it is Dr. Elizabeth Benchley. She is the director of the Archaeology Institute and the Division of Anthropology and Archaeology at the University of West Florida. Go Argos. Dr. Benchley, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So your article this week is about the nature of housing and buildings that were in the late Spanish colonial period, right around that 1821 time frame. Can you maybe just take a sec? I thought it was fascinating reading about how the different colonial overlords, if you want to call them that, what kind of building structures they encouraged and how they platted things out. Because, you know, we're seeing this now with all the development. How did the British do it? How did the Spanish do it? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Part of what I tried to set the framework for is understanding what archaeology we see 200 years after people have stopped living in those places. So what we see from the archaeology is that the first Spanish groups who lived here were very not quite as organized the same way that the British were, and their houses were scattered across the waterfront, but their individual house lots included multiple buildings around the courtyard, which they kept clean. And so archaeologically, we don't find very many artifacts associated with the residential areas, just the edges of the residential area. The British, on the other hand, created a very organized settlement with house lots, but the British tradition for dealing with trash was to throw it out the door or out the windows. So there's a lot of British trash associated with right where they live, their kitchens and the residential buildings also. So the archaeology remains are quite different between those two cultures.
Huh.
And then the second Spanish occupation was much more diverse than it had been previously and included people from Europe, people from Spain, people from France, people from the Caribbean. The first Spanish occupants were mostly from Mexico, or what came to be called Mexico. And then there were British. The British period brought lots of Brits to the area, and many of them stayed after the Spanish took over West Florida. So we have British residents who stayed here, and then American residents who entered the area sometimes a decade or more before the actual changeover in 1821.
Huh.
So Second Spanish Pensacola, as we call it, was very diverse and had elements of all those histories. But the city itself, the town itself, had the British organization, although the residents were not necessarily British.
Were they, you make me think, I'm thinking through what history looks like to an archaeologist, right? Because you see building remains, but you also see all the trash and debris, and so you can kind of infer from that back to what had been and no longer stands. It's a different picture of the world that you see looking back through the dirt layers. I'm wondering, like, silly things like, did they believe in grid laid out, plats, or were they just like the Spanish you were talking about? Were they just kind of houses laid down wherever they happened to fall? Were they even oriented on northeast, south kind of orientation, or were they just random? I mean, I'm just curious. How did that work?
Well, normally the Spanish created their settlements in grids.
Okay.
But the history of downtown Pensacola was it kind of developed as it could over time. The first fort that they built was oriented on north, true north or magnetic north. I'm not quite sure because the walls weren't parallel. So when the British came in, they set up their town perpendicular to the bayfront, which is at a different angle from north.
Right.
And then they set up a formal British settlement with house lots organized in blocks and separated by streets. And we still use those streets today. So Palafox and Alkenes were originally British streets, and Zaragoza and Government and Romana were originally British streets with different names.
Isn't that interesting that the names of the, you know, the Spanish named streets were originally British streets? And that is fascinating about the orientation, because I would never think, you know, we're so enamored with east, south, north, and west that we wouldn't think of orienting it along the waterfront. But that makes sense in terms of maximizing the building. Well, that's why I like to do this, because it's interesting all the stuff that you learn. The article this week is called "The Archaeological Traces of Late Colonial Buildings Linger Throughout Pensacola." Elizabeth Benchley, Dr. Elizabeth Benchley, is the one who is the author, and she is the director of the Archaeology Institute and the Division of Anthropology and Archaeology at the University of West Florida. Dr. Benchley, as always, thank you for writing the articles, and thanks for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for speaking with me.